those plates that we'll pass up and down these rows at the end of the service during the offertory fund a lot of ministries here and internationally. And I want to thank you for being faithful in your giving. And I want to preach to you this morning on tithing. And there are many people who wrongly think that tithing is just taught in the Old Testament law. And so I want to show you today, as we use our Bibles, just going from one scripture to the other, how tithing was instituted half a millennia before the law was ever given, and how tithing was taught by Jesus and by the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. And I want you to put your thinking cap on. I don't want you to let me do your thinking for you. I quite regularly remind you that I want you to come into this building with your Bible in your hand. Don't leave your brain on the doorstep. Come in with your brain fully intact, a Bible open before you. And don't let me do your thinking for you. Don't let me do your Bible study for you. You do it for yourself today. As we look, first of all, at what the definition of a tithe is. The word tithe is a Hebrew word, and it means 10%. It means that we give back to God one penny out of every dime. Now, everything belongs to God. Everything you have at your disposal is owned by God, but He has made you a steward. He has made you a manager of those things. And really, 100% of those things belong to God, but all that He asks back from us is one penny out of every dime, and that is a tithe. Also, people sometimes get confused on the difference between a tithe and an offering. As I said before, a tithe comes off the top. It is 10% of your first fruits, 10% of what God has blessed you with. And then an offering is above the tithe. It is above 10%. And we quite regularly take up special offerings here in our worship services. We'll have special envelopes in the pew racks in front of you. And those are offerings that we encourage you to give above the tithe, because the tithe belongs to God. And so with that much in mind, I hope you're ready to use your Bible. Open with me to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18. Don't let me do your thinking for you. You know, so many times in Christian circles, grandma taught it and we bought it, and we don't have a scriptural justification for why we teach certain doctrines and why we believe and practice certain doctrines. So you keep that Bible open on your lap. And as you're turning to Genesis chapter 14, I want you to know that the story that we're about to read happened 430 years before the Old Testament law was given to Moses. Half a millennia before the law was ever given. And so we're looking here in these two Genesis passages at the practice of the tithe before the law. Now, in Genesis chapter 14, just to give you the context of what has happened here, it's a story out of the life of Abram, later called Abraham. And in verses 13 through 18, we see that Abram was a military genius. God gave him a strategy and a game plan to defeat the four wicked kings of the east. And when he did that, he came back as victor, and he brought back with him the spoils of victory. And that's where we pick up our story in verse 18. Look at it there, Genesis 15, verse 18. It says, verse 18, then Melchizedek, now that's a strange name. We don't name our kids Melchizedek anymore, but it's a great name. It's the only time we see this name in the Bible. And if you read a little bit further, it says he's called the King of Salem. Let me tell you a little bit something about this Melchizedek. We're going to read about him again before this sermon is over in the New Testament. And Melchizedek is called a type of Christ. He is an Old Testament type of Christ. And we're going to show you that more definitely in the New Testament book of Hebrews. But when it calls him the King of Salem, it means the King of Peace. So it reminds us of the Prince of Peace. And so here's an Old Testament type of Christ. It says in verse 18, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him," that's Abram, "and said, 'Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.'" Now look at this last sentence in verse 20. "And he," that's Abram, "gave him," Melchizedek, this type of Christ, "a tithe of all." Gave him 10% of all the spoils of victory. Now, as I have made a point of over and over again, this happened 430 years before the law was ever given. How do you know this was 430 years? Because of what Galatians 3 verses 15 and 18 says. It pinpoints that it's 430 years before the tithe was ever instituted into the law. And so that makes us wonder, where did Abram get this motivation to give 10% back to God? There was no law instructing it. It could have been just out of gratitude for how God had blessed him with this military victory and how Melchizedek, this type of Christ, blessed him. It could have just been out of a heart of thankfulness. It could have been just the fact that he loved God so much that he wanted to honor God with 10%, a tithe. Or it could be that God spoke to him directly. This is not unusual, because we go over to Genesis chapter 22, verse 11. Don't go there now. But in Genesis 22, verse 11, we see that Abram was following God in obedience when he took his only son, Isaac, up to Mount Moriah, and he was going to offer him as a sacrifice. And God called out to Abram in Genesis 22, verse 11, spoke to him audibly and said, "Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on the lad. Bring no harm to the lad." Abram had the dagger in his hand. It was lifted in there, about to be plunged into his only son's chest. And God provided a substitute, a prefiguring of the substitute that the Lord Jesus is for us. So God may have spoken to him audibly. We don't know what motivated him, but one thing we know for sure, it was not the law. The law was half a millennia away, almost five centuries away. Now, the next instance of tithing, still here in the book of Genesis, and reading in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 22. Genesis chapter 28. Boy, it's great to hear those pages turning. You're not taking my word for it. You're searching the scripture for yourself. You're not letting me do your Bible study for you. You're doing it for yourself. You're thinking critically, and I want you to think critically about this. Now, we read about Jacob here. Jacob was the grandson of Abraham. And so whereas Abram was 430 years before the institution of the law, the best estimates we have are somewhere between 210 and 300 years before the law in Genesis chapter 28. And so reading in Genesis chapter 28, verse 22, it said, "And this stone," Jacob is speaking, "which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." Now, just like Abram, where did Jacob get the idea to give 10% back to God? I mean, the law was at least 210 to 300 years away. Well, it could have been just like in Abram's case, maybe out of gratitude, maybe out of love to God. Or it could have been that God spoke to him as he did through the angel of the Lord. That was common in the life of Jacob. But I've got an idea that Jacob probably learned the practice of tithing from his parents and grandparents before him. I'm sure the story of Abram giving that tithe to the Old Testament type of Christ, Melchizedek, was told over and over again to his children, Isaac. And then on and on it went to the next generation, to Jacob. reminds me so much of when Juanita Killingsworth was standing and giving her wonderful testimony a few Sundays ago about tithing and how she always gave or made sure that the church that she was in gave her two girls, when they were just youngsters, their own boxes full of envelopes for the tithe. She taught her girls the tithe just like her parents taught her the tithe and exemplified faithfulness in the tithe. I remember when I grew up in my home church and I got saved when I was in third grade, and my home church made it a practice that if you were saved, no matter how old you were, you got your own box of tithing envelopes. And so when I was in third grade, my mother had already taught me about the biblical practice of the tithe. I could not wait for the time of year to come when I could go out to the hallway where tables were set up with tithing boxes for all of the members of the church, all the Christians in that church, and I would find my own box with my own name, and I could start putting into practice what my mother had taught me to do. This is how we disciple young people. This is how we generate tithers for the next generation. It's taught by mom and dad as they have an open Bible in their hand. Well, this is instances of tithing before the law. Now, you expect me to go to the law now, so let's do that. You're in the book of Genesis. If you'll take a right-hand turn in your Bible, the very next book of the Bible is Exodus. You'll turn through the book of Exodus, and then the next book is Leviticus. Leviticus is a part of the law. Actually, you'll turn all the way to the end of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. Leviticus 27, verse 30. This is where tithing was instituted in the law. So we're reading the Old Testament law as given to Moses right here. Leviticus 27 and verse 30. And it tells us there, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed, of the land, or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord." Now, weighing every word, especially those last few words, it said way back there in the book of Leviticus that the tithe is the Lord's. It belongs to the Lord. Think logically with me. If the tithe belonged to the Lord back then, doesn't it make sense that the tithe still does belong to the Lord? And then that last statement in verse 30, it says the tithe is holy to the Lord. Think with me logically. If the tithe was holy to the Lord back then under the law, don't you imagine it's still holy unto the Lord? Still in the law, the very next book of the Bible is the book of Numbers. So find Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18 and verse 21. We're just working through the Old Testament law and what it has to say about the tithe. And here we find the purpose of the tithe in Numbers chapter 18 and verse 21. It says there, "Behold," God speaking, it's in quotation marks, "Behold, I've given the children of Levi." Who are the children of Levi? They were the Levites. They were the clergy of the day. All right? So go on. "I've given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of the meeting." And here it's talking about the purpose of the tithe going toward the work and the ministry in a New Testament sense of what First Baptist Church does. It pays for Vacation Bible School materials. We could not have Vacation Bible School here without all the wonderful materials and resources that your faithful tithing through our budget provides. It provides your Sunday school curriculum from the youngest all the way to the oldest, from the children to the youth to the adults. Those quarterlies you have, those study guides you have, they just didn't get given to us. We had to purchase them. And the purchasing power was made possible through your faithful giving through the tithe. And so we're thankful to God for how the tithe is used for ministry purposes through the church. Now, go to the last scripture I want you to see in the law, and that's the book of Malachi. Malachi is real easy to find. It is the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3. So if you've turned to the New Testament, you've turned too far. If you've turned to Matthew, which is the first book in the Bible, you've turned too far. So go back to the last book of the Bible, the book of Malachi, chapter 3, and verse 8. And this is perhaps the most quoted verse regarding the tithe in the Bible. As a matter of fact, the wonderful video that we just saw, the last scene was the scripture quotation from Malachi verse 3. And you saw the several ways that your faithful giving of the tithe through your church budget is used. Many, many ways. So read this wonderful scripture, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. It's in quotation marks, so it's a quote from God Himself. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." Verse 10. "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." I want to emphasize a statement to you in verse 10 where God says, and I'm quoting Him, "Try me. Try me out. Do the tithe test drive." Whenever you're purchasing a vehicle, you will go to the lot and you'll see a vehicle that looks good to you. You have a price in mind, but you won't just lay down the money for that vehicle. You take a test drive. You try it out. You drive it around in the city streets, see how it brakes, see how it accelerates, see if there's any rattling or any problems in the car. You do the test drive. And what God is saying here is, do the tithe test drive. Try me out and see if I will not pour out blessings to you from the windows of heaven. Boy, what a wonderful promise that is. And many of us have never taken the tithe test drive. And I invite you to do that today. Sticking with verse 10, it says that there would be food in my house. I was so touched in the video to see the homeless man out on the street being given food through the faithful tithing of the people in that church. And that happens here at First Baptist Noonan. We have our AO house back behind this sanctuary, which is a food pantry and a clothes closet. And we have a line item in our budget, which is set aside for the purchase of food for the AO house back here. And then you supplement that many times through offerings above the tithe, the loose change that's given in the offering plate, so that we can help people, not only with food and places to stay, but sometimes gas, so they can get from one place to another. And so God is using your tithe, which is brought into this storehouse, so that there may be food for those who need it. But not just physical food, spiritual food. I was touched in the video to see that guy with the offering plate traveling internationally to a place that obviously was very dangerous to be a Christian. And the tithe, the faithful tithe of those people in that church so far away provided the Word of God for those people. I want you to know today that your faithful tithing is providing that kind of spiritual food here and around the world. You know, we so much believe in the tithe here at First Baptist Church that when you put your one penny out of every 10 cents in the plate, We then, in turn, take $1 out of every $10, 10% of what you tithe, undesignated gifts, and we send it through the cooperative program. Not to the cooperative program, because that means it's a dead end. It goes to the cooperative program and it just stops right there. No, we send it through that 10% that you give through this church. We send it through the cooperative program that goes all over the world. Just this last week, our high school seniors were in Mexico. I always have a hard time saying the missionary's name there, Steve Mauricio, I believe is his name, and his wife, Laura, are missionaries that are funded through our Georgia Baptist Convention. When you put money, undesignated money in the plate, it helps fund Mauricio and Laura as they work with the Mexicans and the Mayans. That's who our young people worked with. Just this last week, they built the very first church in that Mayan village, a non-Catholic church in that Mayan village. And what a blessing it is to know that it was through our gifts and through our going that that ministry was made possible. That food was made possible. You know, as an insert there in your worship guide, it's two-sided. And it shows what your cooperative program gifts do. As you give your tithe through the budget, undesignated gifts, 10% of that goes to help people like the people that we read about, Robert and Meredith Lee. They are missionaries, Southern Baptist missionaries, in the very dangerous country of Sudan. South of Sudan, they are ministering the gospel to over 3 million people there. And the people who receive Jesus by faith in Sudan, then at the risk of their own lives, travel great distances to share the gospel with other people and to plant churches amongst those other people. That's what your tithing does. I'm so happy to tell you there's 3,600 churches in our Georgia Baptist Convention, and First Baptist Church ranks 26th out of 3,600 churches in our gifts through the cooperative program to places like Sudan. Or on the other side of that insert, you see there a story about something that happened right here in the United States, but it began internationally. And it's a guy that's just called S. He is a Muslim. And because for his identity to be known, it would be great risk to him and his family. So for anonymity purposes, we just call him S. He knew that there was a real God and it was not the God of Islam when he lived internationally. He heard the gospel and he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Then he was moved to the United States of America and he lives in a Muslim community. And he has started sharing his faith with people in the Muslim community, working with his discipler from the North American Mission Board, supported by your tithes through our budget, a guy by the name of Mark. And so you are bringing food into the storehouse. These lights don't turn themselves on. This comfortable air conditioning just does not come on by itself. We have to pay the electricity bill. And what pays it is your faithful tithes, undesignated gifts through the offering plate and supporting the budget that God has given us here at First Baptist Church. So take the tithe test drive. Now that's tithing under the law. And I know a lot of you said, okay, preacher, all you've done is given us a bunch of Old Testament scripture. And I live on the New Testament side of the cross. And I, for one, am grateful that I do live on the New Testament side of the cross. And even in Abram and Jacob's life, even though that was before the law, it's still Old Testament. And so, preacher, I don't believe that tithing is taught in the New Testament. Well, you're in the book of Malachi. Turn to the next page over where we see tithing in the New Testament. That is the book of Matthew. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. Here in my red letter edition of the Bible, I see that these are the words of Jesus. Some people wrongly say Jesus had nothing to ever say about tithing. They don't know Matthew 23, verse 23. So we're in the New Testament. We're on the grace side of the cross. You read silently as I read aloud. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done." Stop right there. What are these? The weightier matters of the law. Justice, mercy, and faith. He said, you bunch of legalists, you think that all you have to do is just tithe and you're okay. But there's more to it than that. There's justice, there's mercy, and faith. But don't stop right there. Go on reading that last sentence with me. Jesus speaking, these you ought to have done without leaving the others. What are the others? Tithing. Tithing that he's already mentioned, without leaving the others undone. Very interesting. Jesus said that tithing is just the training wheels for Christian discipleship. 10% is just the beginning. And for those of you that are still hung up on the law and grace on the New Testament side of the cross, you can study the entire New Testament and you will find that Jesus never once lessened a demand of the law. Not once. As a matter of fact, I encourage you sometimes just to prove that to go over Matthew chapter 5. You'll read there the words of Christ where he says, "You have read in the law that you should not murder. Thou shalt not kill." Which commandment is that? Commandment number 6. That's right, that's in the Ten Commandments. Jesus says, all of you legalists out there, you have read and you have practiced that you shall not kill. But I say to you on the grace side of the cross that anyone who is angry with his brother or calls his brother a fool has broken that law. Wow, it's not the act of physically killing someone. It's our attitudes. Jesus never lessened the demand of the law. He heightened the requirements of the law. Still there in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus talking to this bunch of legalists on the grace side of the cross says, "You have heard it said that you shall not commit adultery." Which commandment in the Ten Commandments is that? That's right, commandment number 7. You shall not commit adultery. That's what the law teaches. But Jesus said, whoa, wait a minute here, you bunch of legalists. I want you to know that you have committed adultery if you have looked on a woman with lust in your hearts. It's not the act, it's the attitude. Jesus never lessened a requirement of the law. He always expanded the requirements of the law. And that's why it's so clear that when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't give 10% of himself on the cross. He gave 100% of himself on the cross for you and me. And in turn, we as believers give all of ourselves back to him. And so on the New Testament side of the cross, it's not just 10% that belongs to God. It's 100% of everything I have and everything I am that belongs to God. And I know a lot of you are thinking, boy, I like that 10% idea better and better. No, God requires 100% of us. Tithing, 10%, is just the training wheels of Christian giving. Now, as promised, I said we'd see that strange Old Testament character named Melchizedek in the New Testament. So take your Bibles one last time. Take a right-hand turn in your Bible. Go almost toward the end of your Bible to the book of Hebrews. Still in the New Testament, not in the law, not in the Old Testament. We are in the New Testament. Hebrews is a book in the New Testament. And so Hebrews chapter 7. Actually, what I want you to do is back up to chapter 6 and the last verse in chapter 6, because it speaks of that Melchizedek that Abraham gave a tithe to in Genesis chapter 14. It tells us who he is. So Genesis chapter 6, verse 20. "Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." All right? So Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is from the order of this Old Testament type named Melchizedek. A little bit more is explained in chapter 7, now verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met with Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Reminds me of Isaiah 9:6, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Then going on here, verse 3, Melchizedek is without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Who does that sound like to you? No beginning, no end, Alpha and Omega, the Lord Jesus Christ. Go on here, verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abram gave a tenth of the spoils. And if you read on down to verse 8, you can see the rest of the story there. Oh, dear friends, tithing is the training wheels of New Testament giving. It's just where we begin. 100% is what really belongs to God. And so, dear friends, today, I want to tell you something. If you're lost without Jesus, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I want you to know He doesn't want one red cent of your money. What Jesus wants is you. He wants all of you. He's given all of Himself on the cross so that you, in turn, by faith, could give all of yourself back to Him. That's the message of the day. And I pray that if you've never trusted Christ, that you would give yourself to Him. And for those of us who are believers and you've never taken the tithe test drive, I encourage you to take the tithe test drive today. Let's pray about it. Oh, dear Father, we thank You so much for Jesus. We thank You that He gave His all on the cross. And what an honor, what a privilege it is to give everything back to Him. Father, we want You to be not only our Savior, but we want You to be the Lord, the one that's in control of our lives. God, we pray today that if there's anyone here who needs to trust You as Savior, that they would do that. For those who are looking for a church home that teaches the Bible about difficult matters, Father, we pray that if You're leading them here, that they would come by faith. Father, for others that need decisions to be made and You're leading them, Father, we pray that they would do that today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.